Anybody harvesting things? Yeah, this has been a really good year for us. So we started actually in March. We were able to, it was warm enough, and of course we've dry enough that we could get things in the ground. In fact, we picked corn yesterday and had some corn with some okra. So that was enjoyable. If you ask any person that's new to gardening, anybody new to gardening? I mean, is this your first garden? No, got old timers that have been gardening. What is the hardest part about, you know, when you're to get used to when you're a new gardener?
What do you think it is?
Well, that. I think probably the hardest thing is waiting for things to develop. What do you? Patience to let things develop. Waiting. It's a wonderful experience if you're not in a hurry for things to come about. It takes time. It takes time for fruit to develop, and it takes time for us to tend and water and fertilize and plant the plants. And you gotta make sure that you fertilize at the right time, and that you don't let it get so dry that you can't bring it back. This time of year, it's really difficult. I've got a second crop going of green beans. I've already finished one, and I'm trying the second. And with the heat, it's just really difficult. They don't. You can water them every day, but that sun beating down 100 degrees, those seeds are having a tough time. Those plants a tough time developing. So, patience is definitely the key word if you're a first-time gardener or if you're a long-time gardener. I want us to look today. We're going to talk a little bit about the concept, not about gardening, but we're going to talk about the subject of sowing. And I want us today to, we really are going to cover four verses in the book of Galatians. And we want to talk about these four verses. And I'd like for you to turn with me over to Galatians 6, and let's look at verses 7, 8, 9, and 10 this afternoon, and just discuss these verses and see what kind of lessons that we can learn, and maybe we can analyze our own lives and our own direction in life when it comes to sowing. And the subject is called, today the title of this message is called Sowing Spiritual Seed. And we learn the spiritual lesson through the physical application of things. We learn about spiritual sowing because of the physical sowing. But we begin here in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, and we want to start here. It says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap." And we're going to see if that principle is correct. We're going to see if that's right. Now, he says, be not deceived. In other words, we have to be careful and do not accept as true or valid that which is false or invalid. It's a warning to us. Don't be deceived. You know, you don't want to buy that bucket of bolts that the salesman sells you that he's calling a cream puff. It might turn out to be, you know, a lemon. Anybody ever bought a lemon? Well, we have to be careful. He says, be not deceived. Satan is the father of lies, and he is the father of deception, and he will do whatever it takes to deceive you and me. And deception is one of the greatest tools against Christians. Deception. And so he says, don't be deceived. And then he says, God is not mocked. If we don't know that already, we cannot pull anything over on God. We all learned that, haven't we? There's nothing we can pull over on God. We're not going to sneak anything by Him. Now, we might be able to sneak things by each other and by, you know, family members and brothers and sisters and things like that. But we can never get anything or pull one over on God. And that's what it means, you know, we got to be careful not to make a mockery or a fool of God, because He, you know, he hears the words that we might say, but He also knows the thoughts and intents of the hearts. And He knows we can't fool Him, we can't deceive Him, and He's not mocked, He understands. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap. When it's talking about this mockery, you know, you have to kind of really go back to verse 3 and verse 4, where in verse 3 it says, "For if a man thinks himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. You know, and that even is true when we think we know something more than we do, or we think we are something that we are not. You know, we deceive ourselves, and that makes mockery. And so he's warning us that we have to be careful of this, and that we have to look at ourselves and make sure that, and we're just coming through the, you know, through the days of Pentecost, and we've been through Passover. You know, we've done a lot of introspection, and we realize that, you know, sometimes we have false impressions of ourselves, and we have to make sure we get rid of those, and that we have to humbly appear before God and understand that He knows our frame, and we don't want to appear to be something we're not. Paul knew it, and Paul knew that they were calling themselves spiritual here, and you know, you can read that in context. But a man reaps what he sows. Do we really believe that? That a man reaps what he sows? Now, that's true in life. That's true in just about everything that we do. When we endeavors at our jobs, we're going to reap what we sow. In our Christian lives, we reap what we sow. In our marriages, we reap what we sow. As young people, what we do, we reap what we sow. As adults, we reap what we sow. And, you know, we reap what we give. What we put into something is what we're going to get back. But actually, that's not true. Actually, we get back a whole lot more. And you'll see what that principle is in just a bit. But we're talking about the principle of giving. We're talking about the principle of sowing. And what do we sow? How do we sow? And we're talking in our spiritual lives. Well, we sow for one another and for those we come in contact with, our time, with our energy, with our resources, with our finances, with our faith, with our hope, with our love, with our words, with our deeds. In fact, all of our contact with people, even our contact with one another, we are sowing. We're sowing something. And it's either good or it's going to be bad. And whatever we sow, we're going to reap. So we just kind of have to ask this question today. What kind of seeds are we sowing? What kind of spiritual seeds are we sowing? The great thing is, and this is a blessing, God allows us to decide what, where, and how much. The choice is ours. Sowing is a choice that we make. And He loves, as it says in Scripture, a cheerful giver, a cheerful sower. He loves those that love to sow and love to give. I do think in many instances, just like you have to be patient with the old garden to grow and for the tomatoes to finally get ripe, when it comes to sowing spiritual seed, I think it's one of the most unpredictable results. The results are so unpredictable, you don't know. You have to be patient to see it. It takes time. The tasks that we undertake in this way take time. Yet I believe that what we do in this area is one of the most rewarding and important and beneficial things that we could ever do. You know how you feel when those red tomatoes are ready to pick? Anybody picked any tomatoes yet? Yeah, they're great. I just love them. You know, and we take them in and we slice them up in our salads, or we give them to our friends, or we take them to church. And I had a neighbor of mine came over and he says, "Yeah, my neighbor across town has three rows about 60 feet long of nothing but tomatoes." He says, "So he gave me 88 tomatoes. I said, "What are you going to do with all those?" He goes, "Well, I don't know. I'm going to eat them and can them, I guess." So that's nice. But you know, when they're finally ready to harvest and you pick one, how good that is. It's, you know, finally I'm getting something for all this effort that I put in. We're finally getting something out of the garden. And I do believe that it's that same way in our spiritual sowing, that we sow it and we have to wait for that fruit to develop, and we have to be patient and tend it, and we have to watch over it, and eventually it will produce fruit. And I think if you multiply that 100 times, it still will not compare to the experience of planting the seeds that we all are supposed to plant, of faith, of care, of concern, of kind words, of help. I think I'll take this moment right now just to mention one thing, just for you all to be remembering. Here's something we can do. We're going to do a little sewing right now. Joanne Morrow is in the hospital over in Little Rock, and she has gone through brain surgery to remove a tumor. And that tumor metastasized in the brain, which means that it has come from another part of the body and stopped there. Well, they have found now that she's got both lungs and a kidney with tumors in it. And we have visited Joanne a couple of times over there, and she's tough, but she needs our prayers, and she needs our cards and our support and our encouragement. Because this is our, and these are the situations that, and what we're going to do this afternoon at the funeral, these are what we can do. These are our opportunities to really sow some good seeds. So I'd ask that you keep her in mind. Here is the bottom line in this situation. Unless God determines to, with a miracle intervene in her behalf, they're not going to do, chemo and radiation, because she just isn't really strong enough. They're going to try to build up her immune system, get her to rehab enough that she can go home and have some quality days. Because as soon as she was to start chemo or radiation, that knocks you down. And how many times can the body in that situation, how many times can it withstand? So that's a choice that they're making. So we have some prayer time here that we need to offer up on behalf of Joanne for the family too. Be praying for Pam. These caregivers, they get worn out and in such a way you just can't imagine taking care of the ones that are ill. But there is an old saying that goes around, and it goes something like this. We're talking about our sowing, our spiritual sowing, the things that we do for one another, the things that we do for each other in this room, the things that we do for our neighbors, the things that we do for everybody that we come in contact with. The saying is this: you can't fail at sowing. You realize that? You can't fail at sowing unless you fail to sow. Unless you fail to sow. We're reminded about that over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Back just one book here from Galatians, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We've been talking about this already, but this says in verse 6 of chapter 9, it says, "But this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly." Now, I don't know about you, but that's kind of frightening. It's frightening to think that our sowing is so valuable and that we could be those who would sow insufficiently. "And he which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, let him give." Now, I know we read this a lot, during holy days, especially during offering times, but have we ever thought about this in our everyday life when we're sowing to one another? Are we bountiful givers of our time, of our efforts to one another? Are we bountiful? Are we dutiful and bountiful about taking the things of this book to other people, to those that are unchurched? Now, I understand, as we have opportunity. I think that's the key, as we have opportunity. But it says, "Every man according as he purposes in his heart, let him give, not not grudgingly. If we give in a grudgingly, then we might as well not be doing it at all, because that will get us absolutely nothing. Nor of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And I think this concept of this sowing this spiritual seed is a mindset that you and I have to develop. I think we have to really sit down individually and say, do I sow good things as much as I should? Do I sow as much as I should? God gives return on our investment. It's a principle. If you invest, I mean, just think about this from physical, saving. If you never save, if you never set aside, you're not going to have a savings. Invest a little, you're going to receive a little. And I'm not making this about money, because I know we all have different financial situations, but the principle still applies. If we invest a little, we're going to receive little. If we invest much, the return is much greater. And this is true in farming. It's true in our gardens. If you invest a lot of time in the garden and you water, weed, fertilize, you're out there every day keeping that thing just spotless from weeds, making sure that the plants are in good shape, picking off bugs. I had to go. I don't put anything on the corn when it's tasseling out. You got the silk, and so invariably in a lot of my ears of corn at the very top, I'm going to find these green worms that have found their way. So you got to go in there, and hand pick stuff out of there and get rid of those things. But this thing, the time that we invest is true. And it's true, the principle this of he which sows sparingly reaps. The time, if we sow bountifully, our time in the garden, we're going to reap a lot of fruit. And it's that same principle that applies in our spiritual lives. It's that way in our tithing. And yes, I believe in tithing. I believe that we are to set aside for God and for His purposes. And if you don't believe in tithing, that's fine. But you can't get away from the principle of giving and taking care. And that's a principle. And I'm sure that would be an interesting Bible study sometime. But it's true. It's true also in our words, and it's true in our deeds as well. It's true in our spiritual sowing. I want to read, if I can find it here, I want to read a principle. It's called the law of the farm. Anybody ever heard of that? The law of the farm? It goes something like this. In order to harvest in the fall, we must plant in the spring. We must give seed in order to have a crop. We all agree with that, right? You're never going to have a garden unless you plant, right? But it's not a tit-for-tat equation. When you plant a seed in the garden, are you only getting back one seed? No. If you plant a bean seed, you get a lot of beans, don't you? The law is bigger than that. We get much more than we give. We get much more than we give. And you can apply that to all kinds. Why would we want to plant a kernel of corn to only get back one? I mean, why would we want to do that, to get back just one kernel? I mean, even if you take that literally and you plant one kernel of corn in the ground and it produces a stalk and you get one ear of corn, you're still getting back, what, 200 or 300 kernels that are on that ear of corn? That principle applies spiritually as well. No, we plant a kernel of corn to grow a stalk of corn that brings forth hundreds of kernels. That's a principle of the law of the farm. Let's go over here and look at Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And we're going to look at what I believe is a biblical principle of sowing, when we sow. Verse 9 of Proverbs 3 says, "Honor the Lord with your substance, and with the first fruits of all your increase." Honor God with it. "So shall your barns be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst out with new wine." Now, I believe that is a principle that is valid. Anybody disagree? Do we believe that God will fill up our barns, and we're talking physical and we're talking spiritual, and your presses shall burst out with new wine if we honor God, if we sow, if we give? I believe it's a very valid principle, something for us to stick in there, because we're not done. But let's go back here to Galatians and continue. Galatians chapter 6. We're supposed to sow, but how do we sow? It says, continuing on with this concept, reading in verse 7 again, "For whatsoever a man sows," and I'm breaking into the middle of the verse, "that shall he also reap. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." And this is what I'm talking about today, the spiritual seed. Sowing to the Spirit. How important that is. If we choose to not make that choice, that's up to us. If we choose to sow to the flesh, or to our selfish desires and our passions of the flesh, and we become self-focused, if we spend all of our money on ourselves and waste all of our time on that which is for us, what does that get us? What does that get us? Well, I believe that our sinful nature says there's no end, there's no end. We want more, we want more, we want more. I want more, and I want more, and I want more. And we live in a society that has more and more and more. And newer. The 3G is not good enough. Now we got to have the 4G or the 5G. On the iPhone, it's constant. You know, those things can become idolatry. It's interesting, but idolatry, you know, is things that we put in place of God, and things that we, you know, our time that we spend can even become, if it takes us away from God, it's the concept. But if we give ourselves to sowing to the Spirit, to the work of the kingdom, for bringing people to Christ, for taking care of, like Christ did. Christ wasn't sitting with the rich and famous. He was down with those that were hurting. He was tending to people that needed anointing. He was counseling people that were sorrowful. If we give ourselves to that, we support that kind of effort with our talent and with our time. If we spend our time reaching out to those who are needy, we will truly have spiritual blessings. There's a principle, or there's a parable that I would like for us to look at here, because I have come to believe this is referring to you and me in the body of Christ. In Matthew chapter 25. Now, this is a parable that we're all familiar with, talking about a time when the Son of Man is going to be sitting judging. And it says in verse 31, it says, "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of glory." So we understand that time frame. This is when He comes and He's sitting on there. And then it says, before Him is going to be gathered all nations. And he shall separate one from another as a shepherd does his sheep from the goats. And he shall set his sheep on one side, the right side, and the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, come you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom. Now, I don't know, is there anybody in this room that doesn't want to hear those words? We all do. We all want to hear, come, inherit the kingdom. I do. Come, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I think we're going to read here about some sowing that's going on. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you took time to be with me. You took me in. You took time to visit with me to make me feel comfortable. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to see me. And then shall the righteous answer and say to the Lord, When did we ever see you a hungered or and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and took you in, or naked and clothed you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and came unto you? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. And then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and you didn't give me any meat. You were too busy, absorbed in whatever you were doing. I was thirsty, and you didn't give me a drink. I was a stranger, and you didn't take me in. I was naked, and you didn't clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not even come visit me. You knew I was there, but you didn't come. And then shall they also answer and say, Lord, when did we see you a hungered or a thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister unto you? And then shall he answer and say, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not unto one of the least of these, you did it not unto me. Wow. That's powerful. That's powerful stuff, isn't it? Because God sees what we do. He sees how we care and we take care of one another. And he takes note and he says, when we do those things that we should, he says, you did it unto me. And you may be doing it on behalf of others, but he says, no, you're doing it unto me. And I see and I record and I recognize. And I believe that we sow in every aspect of our lives, in every area. And how are we sowing? Which direction are we going? And which direction is going to bring us everlasting benefits? It continues back here in chapter 6 of Galatians. If you'll go back there, we'll keep reading. Galatians 6, and I'll read verse 8 again, and then we'll read verse 9, but he says, for he that sows to his flesh shall reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now, I really, learning to sow to the Spirit, we have to put forth an effort and time. It takes time for us to understand and learn. Just like it takes time for us to figure out what we need to do to make those green beans grow. The right fertilizer, the right amount of water, keeping the weeds out of it. Just as we learn how to garden, I believe we have to learn how to spiritually sow the way God wants us to. I believe it's a learning process. And that's all I'm mentioning today. I'm just bringing up the concept. Let's learn how to do it. Every one of us. Because, frankly, our rewards are based on it. In the kingdom. And there isn't, well, I look at myself. I can't point any fingers and say, I need to sow more. I need to learn how to do it more often. I need to learn how, you know, the toughest time to take care and sow is when it's the fourth quarter and the score is tied and someone, 37 seconds left in the game, and somebody says, I need to be anointed. You know what I'm saying? Because then that's the toughest. That's when you really have to decide, what am I going to sow to here? What am I going to do? Am I going to benefit, or am I going to wait 37 seconds? Or do you head out the door? Or maybe somebody's got a flat tire, or you know their washing machine hose is busted, and they're desperate and they need help. Or maybe they are, you know, suffering from an addiction that they need someone to come talk to them about. When do we decide to do that? But he says in verse 9, he says, let us not be weary in well-doing. Let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I really, truly am convicted that a lot of our spiritual sowing, we're never going to see the end result. You know, maybe we sow seeds to people we never see again. But what we all hope in those kind of situations is that in the kingdom they give glory to God because of our actions. And they say, oh, that's what that was about. Our actions, everything we do is, the words that we speak and the things that we endeavor are so important. Let's not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. The big harvest is just around the corner. The big harvest. And then it says in verse 10, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto our families only. Is that what it says? No. It says, do good unto all men. Do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith, you know, unto the believers. Our caring and our giving, though, and this spiritual sowing starts right here in this room. It does. It starts here. How can we take a caring concept to the community, to those around us, until we learn to care for one another, first and foremost? So if we have things to learn, maybe we need to learn how to better take care of one another. How do we do that? Well, you gotta listen. You gotta listen to where people are hurting. You gotta see where people have needs, or you know, in all areas. We've got to take the time to care and to listen. We're told over here in Colossians, we're instructed, because I believe this is how, if we are going to care for one another, it's going to come about in this kind of manner. The Colossians, the third chapter, beginning in verse 12, where we are encouraged, put on therefore as the elect of God. Here are some things for us when we're thinking about the sowing and the caring for one another that we need. As the elect of God, beloved, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. I don't see anything in that verse that talks about me. It's not about me, is it? You know, one of the biggest idols in the whole world can be the me syndrome. It's not about me. It's all about what Christ is doing and what God's doing. That's what it's all about. We get so absorbed in ourselves that sometimes we forget that it's not about us. It's not about us. Verse 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Sometimes I think that's the place we have to begin. You know, I look over the last 50 years at the disintegration and the splits that have occurred just in the churches of God that we know. And animosities and antagonisms that have developed. And where's the sowing in those situations? Is there any forgiveness that needs to go on? Can we move forward? You know, one of these days this body is going to be put back together. And I believe there's only one body. Lots of congregations. I don't care what organizational name you want to put on it. There's only one body. And it will all be put back together. And when it is, are we going to go, why is he here, God? Why is she here? You know what they did to me back, you know, 30 years ago? Well, we're supposed to forgive. We're supposed to move on. It says we're supposed to be kind to our enemies. But a lot of times we are so overcome by the feeling side that we forget to exercise the principles. But forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man has a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you and me, so also ought we to all of those. We need to forgive. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body. And be ye thankful. And then verse 16 says, and let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You know, even when we are gathered here and we come for services today, why do we come to services? Why do we come to services? Do we come to services to sow? Do we come here to serve? Or do we come here just to listen and see what we can get? Well, I believe that we all ought to come here to serve. It doesn't matter what capacity, every capacity. We help each other. We serve and we take care of one another. We come here with the intent, I am going to help and serve somebody today. I'm going to offer a word of kindness. I'm going to offer some encouragement. I'm going to get their address and write them a card this week. That's why we come. I believe that's why we should be here, sowing all good things. Not, you know, what we can get out of it. You realize just if you come here with the intent you're going to do something for somebody, how that changes your whole frame of mind. You know, you're not going to be wanting to be sitting alone. You're going to be wanting up, talking, visiting. You say, well, yeah, but that's not my personality. Well, you don't have to talk, but you can walk around and you can figure things out. Maybe that trash sack needs to be dumped. I mean, there's a million ways we can serve one another, and so does the Spirit, as it's talking about. But it has to start here. We have to learn how to do that amongst ourselves if we're ever going to take caring to those who really need it. There are the first fruits. I don't believe that and we are of the first fruits. That's what the day of Pentecost was all about. It's our birthday. It's about the Holy Spirit coming to those, and the day of Pentecost is still going on. There are people still being added to the body of Christ. And we can do a part of sowing the spiritual seeds to make sure that that happens. Now look, I'd rather be on that side of it where he said, you know, you did it unto the least of these, my brethren. I'd rather be on that side than for him to say, but you didn't do it unto these, the least of my brethren. Wouldn't you? That's what I'm referring to about sowing. Over here in the book of Proverbs, chapter 11, back here. Proverbs is just really chock full. Proverbs chapter 11. And And I'd like to start in verse 18, and we'll read just a few verses. It says, in Proverbs 11, verse 18, it says, "The wicked work a deceitful work, but to him that sows righteousness shall be a sure reward." I tell you, you can't go wrong sowing. To him that sows righteousness, if we are sowing to one another and to everyone that we come in contact with, we will reap a sure reward. It's one of those laws of the farm. We will reap more than we give. You know, we're going to reap more than we give anyway, because Jesus, we're going to be granted through the grace of Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of our sins. We're going to be granted eternal life. That is receiving more than we've ever given. "As righteousness tends to life, and as," verse 19, "he that pursues evil pursues it to his own death." Isn't that true? As righteousness tends to life, so he that pursues evil pursues it to his own death. You know, we read these sometimes, I think, and we think evil. We're talking about, you know, these are not talking about church people. But, you know, we can be evil if we're not pursuing the right things. It's considered that way. "That they," verse 20, "they that are of a froward heart are abominations unto the Lord, but such as are upright in their way are his delight. Though hand joined to hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered." "As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectations of the wicked is wrath." I got to tell you, when I was a young man, we had one of the teachers that would take us boys backpacking every summer. So for 6 summers in a row, we went backpacking out there in the Sierras. And every year we would start every day, we're backpacking, reading the book of Proverbs. And, you know, I just love Mr. Anderson for that, because he'd sit all us boys down there and he'd say, "Now, boys, what are you looking for in a wife?" And then he'd read some of these things over here in Proverbs and have us read. This is a marvelous book. I love the book of Proverbs. Verse 24 says, "There is that," and here's a principle. I believe this is the law of the farm principle in the Bible. "There is that scatters and yet increases. And there is that and there is that withholds more than is meet, but it tends to poverty." How is it that, you know, you can give and, you know, the people that are the generous ones, they're happy and they're receiving abundant blessings? And, well, it's a principle. He that scatters, he that gives, he's increasing because he is being blessed. I mean, you know, it is one of those laws. And when we're stingy, you know, we're going to reap what we sow. "The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that waters shall be watered also himself." You know, we all need to be watered, and we all need to help water one another. If you understand what I'm saying. "He that withholds corn, the people curse him." Oh, you can read that, Prince. You understand that? I mean, the kings you just look at the children of Israel when they were under bondage. You know, I don't think they liked the king very much, because he was withholding a lot of benefits. "He that withholds corn, the people shall curse him, but blessings shall be upon the head of him that sells it and shares it and gives it." And I hope that we will do that. So what do we do with it? We need to take those seeds and plant them. We need to use them. I hope that you would take the spiritual seeds and that you would sow them and that you would wait for the crop. We sow seeds in people's lives, each other's lives here, in the lives of all those that we come in contact with. And I hope that we tend the garden. I mean, we can go, you know, take sack lunches to the homeless. But have we ever spent any time with the homeless? You see what I'm saying? Tending the garden, helping people along. Whether it be neighbors or friends or family or total strangers, co-workers, schoolmates, or dentist. We would want to plant that seed and nurture it on a regular basis. And then we wait. And we watch. And we fertilize and we water and we pick the weeds. Waiting for the harvest. I believe that we should be praying regularly for God to lead us to those that are in need. That are in good soil, that just need the truth and encouragement. You would love for everybody you come in contact with when you leave for them to say, there was something different about them. What was that? What was that? And remember what it said in 2 Corinthians, that he that sows sparingly is going to reap sparingly. And if we sow generously, we're going to reap generously. And where do we start? Right here. Right here. We start right here. Galatians 6:10 again. Let's go back and read it. As we therefore have opportunity. As we have opportunity. Pray for opportunities. Look for opportunities. Sometimes doors are closed and you want to say things and it just isn't the time. But pray that God open opportunities for us as a church to serve people, for us individually to serve and take care of people. Pray that we have opportunity. And as we have opportunity, it says, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Now, you can write this down. I'm not going to turn there, but 1 Timothy 5:15 says, see that none render evil for evil, but ever follow that which is good, both amongst yourselves and to all men. Follow good. There is a bountiful harvest ahead. A bountiful harvest, if you're going to reap it, takes hard work. Tender care, loving hands, and a lot of patience. I look around this room here this morning, this afternoon, I should say. There's a lot of empty seats. I wonder if God would grant us to fill them. How will we know unless we try? There are lives out there that need to be changed. I think we ought to pray to see if God can show us ways that we can help, ways that we can sow. If we want to see these seats filled, then I believe we must be ready to do some sowing. We can't leave it just to the pastor or to headquarters or to the deacons. We can't leave it just to the broadcast or Prevail magazine or the Armor of God magazine. We can't do that. God provides the seed. We must do the sowing. And it says, let's not be weary in well-doing. And today, we have an opportunity to do some sowing. Comforting of a family. And sowing some fruit. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Let's be about the business of sowing spiritual seed.